back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He deflects it by Antiniemi! And the Flyers have some magic left as they win it in overtime!
Voracek cutting on in! Voracek to the middle of the shot! He scores!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
Seymour Gagné!
That's what the people came to see!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major Radio. Dave here, along with my fellow very sad broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
Sad, I guess, like you said. I literally was going to start off by just taking like a huge sigh, like a just depressive sigh. But it's not even depressive at this point. It's just like, I don't know. It's almost, it's apathetic where...
Yeah.
I'm kidding myself by saying I'm not going to watch the Flyers the rest of the season because I am, but, they've been relegated to my iPad at this point. I've had the Phillies game on. I have it on right now, on the picture in picture for my iPad, just trying to get more into them. The Flyers, what can we say about this team that we haven't already said numerous times this past month plus
season?
Like, yeah, this whole season, ever since the COVID outbreak, this season has obviously gotten worse by the day, worse by the game, worse by the period, worse by the minute. It's gotten just completely worse. It's a complete disaster right now. And we have to talk about the train wreck that is the Flyers right now, because we are obviously a Flyers podcast. But to foreshadow for the people at home and for the people listening, we do have the trade deadline that just went down 2 days ago on Monday. Yeah. And we have some good deals to talk about around the league in our Around the League segment. But for now, we have to kind of pull our own teeth and just talk about how bad the Flyers are. So, Dave, if you want to, you can feel free to recap this last week, and I'll hand you the talking stick now to give your thoughts on, again, what the hell is going on with how bad this team is.
Yeah, well, when we ended recording last Thursday, the Flyers were, at that time, I believe, tied with the New York Islanders heading into the third period. Well, they lost that game in a shootout. So that was another kind of disappointing loss. But then they followed it up with a regulation win against the Boston Bruins on Saturday.
Yeah.
And by God damn it, by Saturday afternoon, I was bought in. I was like, this team, like, I know after last podcast, I said, I'm like, they're done. They've sold it in. They're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But man, after that win on Saturday, mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit, this team might actually do it again.
Yeah.
And they got me. They got me, because what did they do after that? What did they do after Saturday's impressive win over the Boston Bruins? They collapsed yet again in dramatic fashion against a American Hockey League team, the Buffalo Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get shit-kicked last night by the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
In a game where I had it on the radio, and as soon as the Capitals made it 3-1, I turned it off because I was all about running errands last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I get home, and as I'm walking in the door, you know, you leave the TV on for your dog so they don't get separation anxiety when you're gone. So I let them watch some hockey, you know. As I'm walking in the door, I watched Anthony Mantha score to make it 5-1. And I go, all right, well, this is done. And we watched a movie instead.
I feel like that should be animal cruelty, letting your dog watch the Flyers be this bad.
Well, I don't... See, what's funny is because I thought it was on Saturday, mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to watch that game, and it was on TV, and Jack was home alone, and I was listening to it on the radio, so I thought, hey, if I do the same thing again, maybe we'll get the same result. No, it didn't work that way, unfortunately. But man, I rewatched part of the game from last night today. And saw some condensed highlights.
Yeah.
The team's given up.
Oh, yeah.
They're not even playing for their goddamn jobs right now. They're just going out there and they're going through the motions.
Yep.
They're not playing for each other. They're not playing for a future contract. Yep. They're not playing for the pride of the city they represent. They're not playing for their families. They're just going out there and they're playing shinny and they're getting their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sorry. That's not the Philadelphia Flyer brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem right now because this team, like we've addressed the past 2 weeks, has no brand, has no identity, and they have a coach who, as of right now, punishes the young and bright stars on this team, lets veterans get off scotch, you know, scotch-free, no harm, no foul. Then when he gets asked the hard questions by the media, goes, oh, well, if I put my finger on it, I'd let you know. Well, you're the coach. It's your job to put the goddamn finger on it. And we've got a GM who literally is scared to death of the expansion draft and is the king of mediocrity.
Well, it's the COVID situation. It's the COVID situation.
No, fuck the COVID situation.
People aren't picking up the phone.
Everyone's going through this. And as we'll get into, a little teaser, there were massive deals made on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Stop feeding us bullshit. Chuck Fletcher, Alain Vigneault, this Flyers team. You're feeding your fans bullshit, and we're saying no. Fuck you. Like, I know I'm gone.
Is this just gonna be a complete R-rated episode? Because I'm all in for that.
I think I got in my three, and
I will weave a tapestry of curse words throughout this next. However many minutes we have, even though we just started, I will weave an absolute tapestry. It's like, what is it, the Christmas Story? They wove a tapestry of curse words that could still be seen over Chicago or something like that. Cleveland, that's where it is.
I just got so heated, Jack, my dog, is now leaning up against my leg and giving me that look of like, you all right, bro?
Yeah. But, all right, so, I'm
it's so frustrating because you would think that this team, and especially this Elder Core, would know that this fan base can smell bullshit. Like, we're not an idiot fan base. And it's pathetic to watch. Like, I've said in years past, I've always been Sir Optimistic. I very rarely turn off a game.
Mm-hmm.
I've turned off, like, the last five games early that I've actually watched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's way too much. And there's this, and very rarely do you see, like, this is how you know when things have gotten bad in Philadelphia Flyerland.
Yeah.
When you have Keith Jones going on post-game last night on NBC Sports Philadelphia, a channel that is owned by Comcast, who owns the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
He goes on the post-game report, and he skewers the team.
He's
normally your local sports station is your propaganda channel for that thing. If they say anything bad, they don't cross any lines, they don't go too far, and they try and keep it positive. Keith Jones spoke his mind last night.
Yeah.
You could tell he was not holding back. And he probably was holding back because he probably had a lot more thoughts that were already like we might have.
Oh, yeah. Well, in that video of the Boucher save from, what is it, the 2000 series against the Devils, I'm pretty sure he's the one who gives the puck up at the blue line. And you can explicitly hear him yell, fuck, when he gives the puck up. I'm pretty sure that's him. So, oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, like you said, he's definitely trying to be professional, but also professionally ripping into this team. But
and I like how JJ, too, finally.
I'll keep going.
I'm just saying, I like how finally, like, JJ, too, this year is criticizing the team during their play on the ice. Like, it's nice not have announcers who just go along with it. Like, even they're seeing and going, what the hell?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I have lost
all faith.
I've lost faith in this organization.
Yep.
Like, where, what are we doing? Where are we going?
Yeah.
What is the point? And I had a long conversation with my uncle today at the office, who's also my boss. It's a long story. And he tried telling me that it was all on the coaching. And I'm like, well,
no.
You're partially right because there are legitimate criticisms of this coaching staff. But when you have this group of players that the majority have been here now through two regimes, it falls on them to a certain extent. So you can't just fully all blame the coaches. This, like we addressed on a couple podcasts ago, this literally is on everyone. This is a problem from ownership on down. And you've heard more reports of it today. Dale Weiss was just on Spittin' Chicklets, and he said, you know, you got a feeling in the locker room that ownership didn't really care, and all they cared about was butts in the seats. You've heard Nick Kyprios say that they've lost that atmosphere, that Flyers brand. Like, you've lost that fan as an owner, and ownership only really cares about asses in the chairs. And you can, by how they're acting and what's going on right now, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And that's unacceptable. And, like, to get my old season ticket holder rep to stop emailing me, I literally had to type up a partially rude but very honest email to him saying, until X, 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 and X are taken care of, reasons I've already listed on this podcast, you will not be getting a cent of my money.
Yeah.
And the whole entire fan base needs to do that, because that is the only thing that is going to get Comcast to wake up. As long as people are buying tickets from the Flyers website and are going to games and spending money on concessions and buying jerseys, Comcast is happy. They don't care about this team on the ice. They don't.
Yeah.
So until the fans, we as a fan base, stand up and give two big old middle fingers to Comcast, nothing is going to change. So my message to Comcast: get your finger out of your ass and manage your goddamn hockey team. This fan base has been waiting for a Stanley Cup since 1975. You've gotten close twice in almost my 30 years on this planet. The rest of those years?
Sucked.
Okay, well, you flat out sucked.
Forgettable.
Wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, to piggyback off that, I think, like, even though there's only, what, 3,100 fans allowed in at this point, I am curious to see. Obviously, we have to see what happens this offseason. Obviously, things could change. And, again, who the hell knows at this point? Because, not AV, Fletcher even came out the other day right after the trade deadline ended and said he's not even considering any coaching staff changes. And it's like, dude, your head coach believes that you're still a playoff team when you have less than, what, you have 15 games maybe left.
Well, he has to say that.
But still, and like, he's also
out, and
he also was quoted
saying, you know, oh, they're a playoff team or they're not a playoff team.
He was also quoted inadvertently what could seem like undermining Carter Hart, where he says, like, I forget the exact quote, but he basically said the guys play better in front of Brian, meaning Brian Elliott. And it's like, dude, you don't want your guys, you don't want your team playing the best they can in front of the backup. You obviously want them playing better than they should, but Brian Elliott might not be here next season.
He, like, shouldn't be here next year. Like, he is. It's a big problem.
Is the team going to be like, oh, we're not playing in front of Elliott, so we're going to be awful again? But back to my point is that I think that somehow the corporate side, and we've seen this already where people were – it was, what, 2 years ago when the Hextall thing got banned. I feel like it's even worse now. It could get even worse. But the balls that this team has emailing people about, like, I would be livid if I was a season ticket holder paying for tickets right now. And I saw there was an email going, like, an email screenshot going around that, like, they were trying to get people to buy the same tickets that season ticket holders had for, like, half price, where it's like, if you're a season ticket holder, your face value is, say, like $50, and then they're emailing people.
It's more than that.
No, I know. I'm just an example, but just so, like, and you get an email as a layman where it's like, get lower level seats for $25, and I'd be absolutely livid. But I'm curious to see again what happens this offseason, and when it comes to next season, if there's, say, there's potentially 20,000 people that are allowed in the game again, obviously COVID and all that jazz, but it's like, I'm curious to see if I kind of want to see attendance suffer at this point, where, like you said, people like, As much as I would love to go to a sport, like a live Flyers game right now, I don't want to pay any money to see this team. Like, because like that's going to end up me paying, I don't know, at least $40 for a ticket, $15 or $30 to park even. You're going to be paying $80 for a beer and crab fries. I'm exaggerating there, but obviously it's expensive. And it's like, you're going to see this team come out on the ice and the game's going to be over because it's going to be 3-1 halfway through the first period. And the Flyers are dead. Like, literally, they are floating dead in the water. It's not even cruise control, because cruise control, at least you're moving. The Flyers are literally just dead in the water. They're sinking. The ship is on fire. Everyone is just kind of sitting there whistling, twiddling their thumbs, and not giving a shit. Where it's like, as a professional athlete, I don't think I've ever seen anyone, like, again, this team has gotten blown out numerous times this season, and we've seen them just take it. Like, there's no fight. Like, we did see it the one instance against Buffalo when I think it was Lazar sticked Hart before the whistle and everyone got involved. And literally, Flyers Twitter exploded, was like, this is what we wanted all along. Like, we wanted, like, this grit, this fire, like, stand up for your goalie, all that jazz. And, like, it's literally, that was just, like, a drop in the bucket of just complete, just, like, spineless hockey, like I've said for the umpteenth time.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, again, it's pathetic, embarrassing, it's frustrating, it's maddening, there's so many negative adjectives that can be used to describe this team, and I think Fletcher just made it even harder on himself and put so much more pressure on himself now, because we'll talk about this in a couple minutes, but with the moves that were made at the trade deadline, they're okay, but they're not going to do any, like, unless he has some sort of miraculous, like, crazy sort of trade in the works that he almost just laid the groundwork for. He literally has to have a monster offseason to help this team, because as we've said before, the fix isn't going to come from within this organization. Where there's teams that you see stretches of mediocrity from teams around the league, and they somehow play themselves out of it. There's something that, like, kind of turns the tides, but you think every time you think that's going to happen with the Flyers, they just find some way to dig deeper into the hole that they're already in. Like, I can just picture people watching these games and tearing their hair out. Like, because again, that we I for again the broken record, I can deal with this team losing. Because, like, if they're at least putting up a fight, if it's a close game, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, at least lose good.
But when you're flat out not even entertaining to watch because you're not even trying, then that's literally the worst type of hockey to watch. Where I'd rather watch the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Islanders play each other, and both teams run the 1-3-1, and if there's one goal scored in the whole game, then literally watch the Flyers try and play 60 minutes regulation, because you know it's going to – one of my friends who's a Capitals fan predicted a 6-1 win the day before last night's game, and it fucking happened. Like, I literally was – I was messaging him on Twitter, and I'm like, dude, this is literally going to be spot on. I told him that Mantha was going to score, and he did. So it's like literally Nostradamus just complete – and it's like My coworker struck a nerve with me today at work, because we were talking about the Flyers, and like I was like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I could really go off right now and like just spend the entire day talking about how bad they are and how I basically narrowed it down to one sentence where I was like, the organization has had so many paths that they could have gone down, but they've chosen the completely wrong path so many times where they're just completely lost, blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, I'm like, listen, I could go on for days about this, but I'm not going to, like, make your ears bleed by how, like, I was about to get heated. But anyway, I mean, there's literally nothing that there's nothing more that we can say about how bad this team is than that's already been said. Like,
it's literally like
just watching a car crash every time, like every time this team gets
Groundhog
on the
Day.
Ice.
It's Groundhog Day.
And then we get the same old shit from like AV, like, oh, like it was a tough one. Our guys battled out there, like blah blah blah. Like, dude, they didn't.
Oh,
do
we
shit.
Played. We played our sixth game like, in 9 days. You know who else played their sixth game in 9 days last night? The Washington freaking Capitals, the team who spanked you 6-1. I know. I'm.
There's yeah. It's just again, we literally. I'm literally holding back, just again weaving that tapestry of curse words, because I don't want to go too off the rails here with how angry I am. But it's just again, when you think that this team can't get any more incompetent and like at least acknowledge that things are bad. But when you, and again, I know the head coach is supposed to have confidence in this team, but who the hell has confidence in this team right now? Like,
no one. And you can tell by the way they're playing. They're so, not confident. And they're lying, and they're spitting in the face of their fans. And they go out and say, "Oh, we tried a hard game, just didn't go our way." Well, no shit. We wasted an hour watching you perform this bullshit. You know what's really bad too, Matt?
What's up?
Is I saw a stat that where this plays into how this year is worse than the 2006-2007 season. During the 06-07 season, apparently the Flyers only lost by 5 or more goals only 5 times. That entire season. They've already lost by 5 or more goals, I think 6 or 7 times this season in almost half of the games.
Yep.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable how bad they've gotten and how much worse it just gets. It seems to get worse almost every game. And just looking ahead, they play Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
Jeff Carter's getting a hat trick.
In Pittsburgh. I guarantee they're going to lose by at least 3 goals.
Or,
maybe
know,
more.
To be assholes, they'll come out and they'll beat the Penguins, but then they'll get shit-kicked by the Capitals again on Saturday.
That's true. I mean, again, it's you literally don't know what you're going to get from this team, and it's literally you get, like... I'm so frustrated and angry and just, like, filled with negative emotion about this team, where it's like... You literally just make random noises because you can't, like, you're too pissed off to form a sentence. And, like, it's, again, it's just almost laughable where it's, like, you see this team get, like, complete defensive breakdown. Obey Kubel takes a penalty that leads to a power play goal against. Justin Braun or someone is completely out of position. There's 3 guys that are behind our defense right in front of our goalie. Like, it's like you basically have a grab bag of some shitty thing that the Flyers are going to do and the other team is going to score. Like, so, I mean, it's just, again, it's unbelievable. Like, it's literally, it's unbelievable how bad this team has gotten. And this is 100 times worse than 06-07 because – I don't really, like, I don't remember that too much because I was, 9 or 10? But I knew it was bad, like, once, and, like, but holy hell, this is terrible. Like, so, I'm at a loss for words at this point, just how bad it's gotten. Again, we've said all that we can say about how bad this team is. It's just, it's literally the same shit, different day at this point, where it's, like, it's not even surprising anymore.
And there seems to be zero effort
from
this organization to fix anything right now.
Yep.
Like, they're giving us that lame answer of, COVID. COVID.
Oh,
Six games in nine days.
Yeah.
We're only going through the same thing everyone else is going through, but it's okay, fans. We're going to be better. Like, this is so much worse than last year, because last year actually got our freaking hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we thought this team was supposed to be good, and they're not.
Well, and even last year, I mean, you can kind of, if you nitpick and dissect enough last year, they were pretty shitty for the first quarter of the season.
They were up and down, and they were good from, like, January to when the COVID pause happened, and they were good in the round robin, And this team that we're seeing right now is a team we saw play against the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Islanders. But because they actually made – they won a playoff round and made it to seven games in the Eastern Conference semifinals, something they hadn't done in almost a decade, yeah. You thought, you know what, this team's actually good. And they're not.
Yep.
And we are literally – our time might have been wasted for 8 years during the Ron Hextall, Dave Hextall era.
Yeah.
And that scares the shit out of me. Because if that's true, what – like, literally, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Are we having to wait another eight years through an actual rebuild this time? Because it seems to me, apparently, Ron Hextall didn't actually rebuild at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's – I mean, it's crazy. Just – it's literally – again – The fact that this organization has potentially wasted the last 10 years of our time, like, since that playoff run is insane. Because, again, who knows what's going to happen this offseason, but there's been talks, there still are talks. Well, I guess not as much now because the trade deadline passed, but it's like Nolan Patrick's going to be gone. Travis Konechny's made his way onto the trading block. Obviously, Ghost is there. We're going to lose someone to the expansion draft. Myers and Sanheim. Honestly, again, we've talked about who our untouchables are at this point, and literally everyone else is up for screw it. Everyone else is up for grabs at this point. Like,
I think literally right now my list is Giroux, just because I'm never going to give up on him. Yeah. But it's Giroux, Farabee, Provorov, and Hart.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Everyone else, if you can make the team better, sayonara.
Yeah, and again, like you said at the beginning, you would think that at least these guys individually would show some
sack. Really,
I want to say the F word. You would think they would show some effing some spirit at least. Like, yeah, some balls, some spine, some grit, some sandpaper, whatever you want to call it, just for themselves because they can earn a contract or whatever. But it's like they literally don't even want to do that. Like, hell, bring up the Phantoms at this point.
It depends on the player.
I know that's not realistic, but
it's not realistic. But like, there are some really good players right now with the Phantoms that I don't want near this dressing room at all, because there's a cancer in it. This locker room is cancerous, and I'm sorry to make that pun especially with Oscar Lindblom, but there's something wrong with this locker room at its fundamental core, and this offseason is huge. Literally, the fate of this franchise rests in the hands of Chuck Fletcher. And that doesn't make me very confident.
Yeah.
Because Chuck needs to go out and he needs not just to make – this is not a one-trade fix.
No.
This is not a one-trade fix. This is major, massive overhaul. Like, they need to do a lot.
Yep.
Like we addressed on our one podcast, Jake Voracek needs to go. You need to get rid of his cap hit. Somehow, some way, get him gone. Because you need that money and cap space. If we have to lose Ghost, we lose Ghost. That's 4.5 off the books. That's good. But, like, they got to do something. And I love Carter, but you need to get a backup goalie for him. You need to go out and get a 1B.
Yeah.
You can't depend on Brian Elliott to be one. Well, I think he's not even good anymore. His numbers have gotten to the point where they were last year. He's down like an 88 save percentage again. Like, he's not good.
Yeah.
And he's been good in stretches.
Mm.
And his really good games are really good, so we remember them. But overall, he's not a good goalie anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, who's really been good on this team this year?
No.
If anyone, it's
JVR and Farabee.
Yeah, for spurts, and then Scott Laughton for spurts, and Giroux's been good for spurts. Kevin Hayes, for some reason, has good points. But
that's the problem, though. It's only been spurts and not a whole damn season.
Consistent. They haven't been able to build on anything, and that's exactly. Like, hockey's built on momentum and luck.
Yep.
And if you're riding good momentum, you're going to have good luck.
Yep.
And every time we see them go, okay, that's a stepping stone, they literally go, oh no, we're going to fall off to the side and trip and go down two more steps and try and go back up the other way.
And then the steps are going to catch on fire and like,
or become, the floor becomes lava, or they're on the top of Mount Everest and they fall off of that. It's just, I had, It's like you have no words.
We are at our end with this team.
So you just tweet in all caps, pathetic and unacceptable, at the Flyers on Twitter. Like, this poor intern. Like, I really do kind of feel bad for this intern, because I know none of this messages are going to get anywhere. Mm. I know season ticket holder reps see them because my ticket rep told me that they actually do see them and they tweet from the profile sometimes. And I had my one actually tell me that he noticed my tweets once. So
yeah, you're all over them.
I'm a former ticket holder. I gave this team $5,000 of my money.
I know. I was a quarter season ticket holder. No big deal.
And it's just like,
yeah, but so all right. So
any change done is if fans start boycotting this team. And the problem is that Philadelphia fans are so diehard that this is going to be a chunk of this fan base that will never do that.
Yep.
You know, I used to not think like that. You know, I used to have some faith that, you know, this ownership really cares about winning. Well, you know what? I have seen since Ed Sutter has passed that Comcast doesn't give a flying F-bomb with how this team performs at all. And either they either need to sell the team to someone who is going to give a flying F, or they need to start to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's really no words left at this point. The one thing I will say, I wasn't, again, like you said when we were texting about it earlier today, I wasn't reading too much into it, but I also was because, again, I think it's, we can touch on this again before, not again, but we can touch on it before we get into the trade news that went down. But so for those of you out there that didn't know, I think it was Anthony Sanfilippo who pointed it out, but there's a paid promotion from the Flyers going around about this coming Sunday. They're celebrating Hockey Fights Cancer Night at the Wells Fargo Center. And on the ad for the picture is Gritty, but obviously us being Flyers fans and the I won't even call it the elephant in the room. It's literally right in front of their faces. The fact that they have a cancer survivor in Oscar Lindblom. Like, I understand, obviously, there's the whole marketing thing where Gritty's popular, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, why would you not try and draw attention to your players as opposed, like, that's the problem, too, is that I think the Flyers are the organization is more focused on marketing their mascot than they are on marketing their players. And like you said, Dave, we don't know if Lindblom was asked about being featured in the ad and turned it down because he wasn't comfortable, or if there's some league rule about that. But it's like, you literally have, it's literally like a softball slow pitch. You can knock it out of the park. You like just a marketing thing. Again, I'm not a marketing expert, but I felt like that's the right thing to do. And we're getting completely off topic here with me saying this, but I think we've said this before too. I'm starting to get pissed off at Gritty because we literally see this team get absolutely trounced one night. And then like for the Masters the other week, the next day, all we get from the team is here's a video of Gritty hitting a golf ball. And it's like, hell, we've seen Gritty go snowboarding, play golf, do a bunch of shit. It's like, fucking put him on the team at this point. If he's an unreal multi-sport athlete that can be like, put him in net, put him on defense, put him at forward, maybe he'll score a goal or two for us. And like, there's your marketing ploys that you have your mascot playing for your team.
Playing.
Because your team is so bad. Where it's like, it's almost, again, and other people have echoed the same sentiments I think that I have, and I'll let you give your two cents here too before we get back on track here, but it's like, and we've said this before, where it's almost like, and again, I don't want to get too like conspiracy theory here, but it's like, it's literally the Flyers are trying to distract the fan base from the on-ice product with Gritty's look what I can do, where it's like, oh, like he's literally, I mean, again, they're even trying to do it at the stadium. I mean, granted, there aren't a lot of fans there, but like, Gritty's got his own little playpen. He's painting pictures, doing all this stuff. I mean, any mascot obviously is going to do that at a game to some degree, but it's like, you're literally like, you're more concerned with your mascot's clout than you are with your team. Like, it's like literally it's like looking at a fire and then someone brings a baby into your into your line of sight, and you're like, at first looking at the fire, like, oh my God, that's terrible. Like, what's going to happen with that? And then, like, in the middle of your sentence, you just start going, oh, look at the baby. Like, no, it's literally.
I'd do that for a puppy or a dog. I wouldn't do it for a baby.
Well, I mean, there's obviously, yeah, anything cute you could bring out, like a kitten or a baby chimpanzee, like anything cute where it's like that cute thing represents Gritty doing some sort of athletic feat or some crazy thing. And then in the background, you're distracted by the complete shipwreck, train wreck, dumpster fire, Hindenburg disaster of the on-ice product that is the Flyers. That's my two cents about it. Again, I love Gritty, but it's like, It's almost like you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Where it's like we were obviously against Gritty when he first got revealed, but then we've come to love him. But now it's like, dude, like, let's take it easy. Like, the team sucks. Like, again, I love Gritty, but again, it's just like, I mean, it all comes down to marketing too. Where it's like you want to stay relevant, obviously, all that stuff, and you want to, again, Comcast, they probably want to make as much money as they can because, like we've said, they probably don't really give a shit about the actual team. But sorry for the mini rant there.
No, Dave, you're right.
Any thoughts on all that?
If the team, it's like Gritty's being shoved down our throats.
Yeah.
And if the team was winning, we would all love it. Because the team would be winning.
Yeah.
So everyone would be happy. But it's the fact that they're losing, the manner in which they're losing,
yeah,
and the fact that there's no action from the organization, and they're going, here's Gritty.
Yep.
And we're going, well, we don't want Gritty right now. We want action. We want this fixed. Here's Gritty.
Yep.
Like, no. Like, but he just did
a handstand on top of a motorcycle while he's going through a ring of fire.
I have talked about getting a Gritty tattoo because of how much I now love Gritty.
Yeah.
Like, Gritty drinking like a PBR. Like,
that'd be sweet.
Fantastic, fantastic tattoo. But, like, I digress. It's just like,
I think you should still do it. But again, I think, like you said, we would love all this if they were actually winning.
If they were winning,
they're so awful right now.
Like the team's kicking ass, and Gritty is snowboarding. Hell yeah! Like, how cool is our mascot?
Yeah.
But we're losing, and they're going, but Gritty, and we're going, no, Gritty. We don't want Gritty right now. Yeah. If anything, you should be not Grittying. Like,
yes. Yep.
Take him away.
I feel like there's so many layers to how this team should be fixed, how it can be fixed, how it's been run, how it should be run. I mean, it's crazy. Just, again, the organization as a whole, I think, has completely let this fan base down, like, this past decade. And
they know,
again, I love this team. I'm again, like I said before, I'm still going to watch the remaining games this season, but I probably won't like them, but it's like, obviously we deserve better, but the way that this organization is run, has been run, like we said ad nauseum, like it's not run like other teams are. And it's, again, the corporate side of it is like, it's just, again, like you said, Dave, it's getting money from concessions, tickets, all that stuff, which is understandable, obviously, because of COVID and all that, which is fine to an extent. But again, there should be some sort of reward for all that money where your organization listens to its fans, takes into account the feedback in whatever aspects feedback comes in. But it's like you literally are. It's just crazy that, like, after all we've done for this franchise, they can't do anything for us. Like,
yeah, and the team knows how bad things are with the fan base because they have canceled season ticket holder events this season for Q&A with, like, Chuck Fletcher and Elaine Vigneault.
Well,
like, they pushed it back and pushed it back, and they just canceled it from what I've heard.
Didn't they bring in... I'm pretty sure because they bring in a new, like, marketing or, like, operations marketing. They brought in, a woman. I forget her name. Yeah, it was last
she's
year.
Actually, so, fun fact, she's actually the wife of my fiance, Brenna's, for all our listeners who don't know. She is the wife of my fiance's old boss. So there's, like, a connection.
Makes sense. But
she played a role in, like, she played a role in me getting to propose to Brenna down by the ice with Eric Lindros on the ice. So connections.
I'm not gonna say anything bad about her here, but I'm just saying that they brought her on obviously to try and fix what had already been messed up, where again they revamped the season ticket system with like the fans edge, all that stuff, which is good. I mean, it's, I don't know. But again,
I have thoughts on it. I personally was lied to and burned by my old ticket, not by the ticket rep I had when I actually had my seats when I went to games.
Yeah.
But by my very first ticket rep when I originally bought the plan.
Yeah,
I was lied to.
Yeah.
So I've got thoughts, and also being a salesman myself, I have thoughts on how they do things. So
yeah, I mean, again, I just think that again, like we've seen, it's literally one step forward, two steps back with the entire, like any aspect of this organization, is that you could boil it down to that, where it's like, hire a new marketing manager, your team sucks. Hiring, like, your team's good, your marketing sucks. Like, I don't know. There's always something wrong.
You know what, Matt? Things could be bad. And I think we might be able to end it on this, Mark. Things are bad, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not Buffalo Sabres bad. And that...
I don't even know about that, man.
Oh, no. Buffalo can't afford scouts.
All right. I'll give you that.
It's... Buffalo is, maybe we'll have to do an episode here coming up where we ignore the Flyers and we do a whole like around the league episode. Things are not good with the Buffalo Sabres right now. Yeah. They don't have any, they just hired an assistant GM.
Oh man.
After the trade deadline. So, yeah.
All right. Well, like you said, we can end it on that, at least for giving our thoughts about the Flyers and how bad they are, and we can move on to the trades that they did make.
After an ad break.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead. Yes. Indeed. So, with that, we will be right back here at 5 Minute Major, and we are back here at 5 Minute Major Radio. Pretty much now we're rolling into an around the league section, Matt. But we're starting out with, of course, the trades that the Flyers did make.
Correct. So to preface this, obviously, like you said, Dave, just now, we will go over the Flyers trades, but with the trades from around the entire league, knowing the trade deadline, knowing all the deals that went down, we're only going to go over a select few of the more prominent ones that did go down. We'll rattle them off for you guys, but again, we get all our info from NHL.com. They have a trade tracker on there that literally goes through every deal. But we're not going to sit here for 3 hours and go over every single deal because, again, like I said, some of them are more prominent than others, but we will give you the juiciest tidbits that we have. But again, starting with the Flyers, after a long silence of Fletcher not doing anything while other teams were wheeling and dealing.
And some great memes were created in that time.
Oh yeah!
I tweeted I did the one where everyone had the picture of Fletcher with his laptop and the books.
Dude, that one was all over the place.
I found a screenshot of Halo 2, and I put that next to it.
Ooh, there you go.
There were some ones that were pretty good though on there.
Yeah, but so transactions wise, the first thing that went down was the re-signing of Scott Laughton to a 5-year contract extension with an average annual value of $3 million. Going on, we have next the trading of veteran forward Michael Roffel to the Washington Capitals for a 5th-round pick in the upcoming 2021 NHL draft. And the Flyers are also retaining 25% of Roffel's salary on the impending he's a UFA after the season. But and then perhaps the most well-liked one of the Flyers transaction, I'd say, is that the signing bust of defenseman Erik Gustafsson. He was traded to the Montreal Canadiens for a 7th-round pick, which may as well probably just be like a bag of pucks for how bad he's been.
It's in the 2022 draft, right?
A 7th-round pick in the 2022 NHL entry draft, but the Flyers are also retaining 50% of his remaining salary, but that'll be off the books come free agency this offseason because we only signed him to the one-year deal. But again, Gustafson, just a complete bust of a signing. Did not fix the Matt Niskanen void at all. Was a healthy scratch on numerous nights. Was a complete defensive liability. I mean, it's just the guy did not work out at all. It's as simple as that. But I guess overall, my thoughts about the leading up to the deadline is that I think the emotion of how bad this season has been definitely got to a lot of people, where it's like the big trades need to happen now. And obviously they didn't, because we got a fifth round pick and a seventh round pick, and we re-signed Lawton. It's acceptable, I guess. I don't really like it, but I guess again, I'm torn between the whole flat cap, all that stuff. But again, other teams were making it work throughout the whole day. So what I'll say is that I'm pleased with what Fletcher did, but also I think there could have been more that could have been done. But and again, I think Fletcher personally, for his job as GM, like I said before, is he's putting so much more pressure on himself now to make this offseason so much better and to right the ship at this point. So if I had to give it a letter grade, I would probably give it like a C-, because like again, it didn't blow anyone out of the water. It is sad to see Raffle go, but I think it was the right thing to do at this point. Gustafson, see ya, smell you later. And then obviously Lawton. Lawton was the guy who it was last season and this year where you heard he was going to possibly bring back a nice return going somewhere. But he's a guy where, again, if the Flyers make a deep playoff run somehow, some way in these next years, he's a guy you want on your squad in the playoffs. And a guy, again, a guy who you just want on your team. So good signing for Lawton. Everything else, again, like I said, just meh. So Dave, with that being said, your thoughts surrounding Fletcher's moves and the Flyers at the trade deadline?
They kind of did what I wanted them to do. Eric Gustafson, a little bit known, I helped him pack up his bags and I sent him off to the airport in Montreal.
I can't even tell you how many texts I got about that from different people where it's like, I'm actually helping him pack his bags, or I'm driving him to the airport, like all that stuff.
There was a slight chance for upside with Gustafson when they signed him.
And it
started out the year okay when he was producing on the power play, and you thought, okay. And it was just downhill from there after those two games. Kind of like the Flyers in general. But he was an absolute bust of a signing. You got something for an expiring asset. Like, it's just laughable. Like, that was the guy you brought in to replace Matt Niskanen, and you brought him in on a one-year, $3 million contract, and you got him out of town for a seventh-round pick in next year's draft, and you're keeping half his salary retained for the rest of the season. But it needed to be done. He should not be in the NHL anymore. He's not an NHL caliber player. Michael Raffle leaving. Thank you for your service for Philadelphia. You know, the past 8 years that you've been here, almost a decade, you've been a serviceable forward. But you're on the wrong side of 30. You're a UFA and you're a fourth liner now. I don't want you back on my team next year. So thanks for the fifth rounder pick. Good luck with Washington. Like, I hope you win there, because he's a player who deserves to win. And this Scott Lawton signing, you know, it would have been nice to get a return for him, because you probably could have gotten a first-round pick for Scott Lawton, considering other players similar to him or worse than him, depending on how highly you think of Scott Lawton fetched first-round picks. But he's a guy who had been very vocal the past couple seasons saying that I do apologize if you hear Jack barking. He loves Scott Lawton. just like our good friend Matt Hoagie Hoagland. But he's a guy who's always come out and said, I love being a Flyer. I love living in Philadelphia. You know, I want to be a Flyer my whole career. And he actually goes out and he shows it on the ice. Very rarely am I ever questioning Scott Lawton's effort game in and game out like I am some other players. you're arguably getting one of the best third, fourth liners in the league, mm-hmm. and you've got him locked up on 5 years at $3 million a season. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if he goes south, that's a very tradable contract that some team will take.
Yep.
So it's a good term and it's a good, you know, cap hit. So really no complaints there. I would have liked to see Brian Elliott get moved. This season it's gone.
Yeah.
And I really would have liked to see maybe Alex Lyon. You know, because you need to get that new goalie for Carter Hart for next year. Yeah. If you think there's any chance that it could be Alex Lyon, I would have preferred to trade Elliott and then have Lyon be the backup the rest of the year. But obviously that means the Flyers don't trust Alex Lyon enough to do that. And two, they want to hold on to Elliott for reasons for the rest of the season. The more I thought about it, the more I was angry. I wanted like a big shakeup trade done at the deadline. But the only real player traded with term was Anthony Mantha.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was kind of a UFA player. You know, there wasn't like a big, like, whoa deal made. Like, that was the one trade was the Anthony Mantha trade with the Capitals involving Panic and Vrana going back to Detroit. That was the only, like, whoa trade there. So, you know, hockey's biggest moves always happen during the off season and around the draft.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm expecting from Chuck Fletcher.
Yeah.
It's what I'm expecting and what I'm demanding from Chuck Fletcher.
It's almost a must that he has to do something.
Yes.
Well, it is. It's not even almost a must. It is a must.
Yeah. It needs to be done this off season. But, you know, I like the moves. You know, getting rid of Raffle frees up a roster spot for another younger player to be in the lineup, like Tanner Lozinski full-time, who I think has played well.
Yeah, he's pretty decent.
So, you know, overall, they sold a little bit. They got rid of some expiring assets and brought in something back for them in return. So, you're right, like a C-minus is fine.
Yeah.
If they had made a bigger trade, and maybe could have gotten them to a C-plus or a B-minus.
Mm-hmm.
My big thing is like, why did it take you all day to extend Scott Laughton? So it felt like it was literally once the Flyers extended Scott Laughton, then the Gustafson trade dropped, then the Raffle trade dropped. So it's like, so Chuck, you spent all day negotiating a $15 million contract while teams were making legitimate, like, better trades than you that you could have done possibly yourself. But you spent all day locking down your third, fourth line center. And then at the end of the day, you said, okay, well, let me get rid of Gustafson and Raffle.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, the closer it gets to the deadline, maybe other GMs become a little more desperate. But
probably.
And also, you see after it does hit 3 o'clock, you see those deals come out after the the so-called deadline, because, like, they have to report them to the league. I think they still faxed things to the league, so like maybe the fax machines are a little behind, so you see the stuff come out after 3 o'clock on the deadline. But yeah, I mean, it was, again, you were kind of hoping that they would happen like almost right off the bat, and then like Fletcher did his press conference like I think around 4:30 that day and gave some quotes where I was like like it was like the Thor face from Ragnarok where it's like really though, like, so but yeah, I mean, nothing overwhelming at all. An underwhelming trade deadline for the Flyers, but
I feel like there were some fans who wanted like Jake Voracek trade at the deadline.
Yeah,
that was never going to happen. If he's getting moved, he's getting moved to the draft or once free agency starts. So
I was going to say, and like, again, realistically, as much as we've busted on Fletcher for saying it, it's a realistic thing that obviously there's the flat cap and the expansion draft. So who knows? Maybe he could work some magic in that end of the draft and the offseason. There's opportunities to make this team better this offseason. It's just a matter of how well he can capitalize on them. Mm-hmm. And I think he does have to do well. Otherwise, his job and a lot of other jobs are at stake next season.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. It's all everything negative and everything is warranted at this point, where it's like we've seen the effort that these guys put out. We've seen the heart that they've give. Like, it's like, if you're not going to give a shit, we don't want you on this team.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, yeah, again, Flyers trade deadline, C-minus, doesn't do much for me. I like the Lawton signing, definitely a steal. Because Iafallo, a similar type of player to Lawton, got $4 million for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, same type of player. I think we got Lawton for longer and cheaper, so I'll take it. But moving on, Dave, if you please.
Yes, indeed.
We will go to our first deal that we are highlighting tonight. Actually relevant now because Devin Dubnyk, goaltender, was traded to the Colorado Avalanche by the San Jose Sharks on Saturday. This came before the deadline for defenseman Greg Pattern. I knew
the
I was saying.
Avalanche that. Actually got him in a trade with Minnesota for Ian Cole earlier in the season.
Good call.
But, so they turned Ian Cole into Devin Dubnyk, which
I think
pretty good.
San Jose also received a fifth-round pick in this upcoming 2021 NHL draft, and Dubnyk is in the final season of his six-year contract he signed with the Minnesota Wild on June 27th back in 2015 and is slated to become a UFA after this season. But Dubnyk may be getting some good load time with the Colorado Avalanche because it was just announced earlier today that their starting goaltender, Philip Grubauer, my fantasy goalie, tough move for me, but he's gonna be out because he tested positive for COVID. So I would assume that Dubnyk is gonna get some playing time with Francois, their other goalie.
Pavel Francouz is hurt, so they've got Johansson kid who they traded from Buffalo.
Oh, so
as their backup right now.
We'll see two new goalies then. But the Avalanche, one of the predicted favorites to win the Cup. So good trade by them. Obviously, they're going to need a goalie now because both their goalies are down for injury, COVID.
But I'll tell you what, our good buddy Jason Coley, who's our resident Avalanche fan here at 5 and Major Radio, hates the Minnesota Wild and is not a big Devin Dubnyk fan. He's not a fan of this trade at the present moment. But who knows, if Dubnyk comes in and wins some games, his attitude might change.
There you go.
I can keep tabs on that. I'll do some reporting.
There you go. Yeah, you'll have to report back. Moving on to our next deal here, we have David Savard going to the Tampa Bay Lightning in a trade that involved the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Detroit Red Wings, a three-team deal. Columbus traded the defenseman and received a first-round pick in the upcoming draft and also a third-round pick in the 2022 draft, while Detroit received a fourth-round pick in the upcoming draft as like a brokerage fee type of thing. And then Tampa also received defenseman Brian Lashoff. Never heard of that guy. But Tampa is really playing with the flat cap here, where they have like a really razor thin margin. And they're also, again, I wish him the best of luck in recovery, but they have Nikita Kucherov completely off the books because he's on LTIR. So I don't know how they're going to maneuver that. If
salary cap
does come back.
The salary cap does not exist in the playoffs. So they can literally have him come off of LTIR it won't matter.
Well, that's some savvy.
The rich get richer.
Well, there you go. Chess, not checkers, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But David Savard going to, I almost said Columbus. He got traded from Columbus. Going to Tampa Bay. Your thoughts on that?
Good trade. Like I said, the rich get richer. Savard's probably gonna be a bottom pairing defenseman there. But he improves their already good penalty kill and improves their overall great team defense. The Lightning have a legitimate chance to repeat. And he adds to that.
There you go. Sorry, I was sending a text there. The Phillies are losing too, so it's all bad.
And I'm repping the Phillies tonight with my throwback baseball team. Come on,
most likely going to get swept by the Mets here after their doubleheader loss yesterday.
Oh, Jesus Christ, pain!
They're down 5-1 right now on the top of the
pain.
Top of the eighth. Yeah, not looking good. Anyway, back to hockey. Another three-team deal involving Columbus. We have this was probably the first, I guess, notable. One of the bigger trades surrounding the trade deadline. Forward Nick Foligno was acquired by the Toronto Maple Leafs, again, in a three-team trade involving the Blue Jackets and the San Jose Sharks. Columbus traded Foligno for a first-round pick in the upcoming draft and a fourth-round pick in next year's 2022 draft. But the Sharks, again, as the broker, received a fourth-round pick in the upcoming draft from the Maple Leafs for forward Stefan Nosen. Foligno was the captain of the Blue Jackets since May 20th of 2015. He can become an UFA after this season. He's a solid forward, and I think, again, this just shows that the Maple Leafs are all in on making a deep playoff run this year. Austin Matthews has been unreal. They've just been Jack Campbell won, 11 games in a row?
NHL record.
And yeah. So I mean they've been a juggernaut this season, and I mean it's realistic that they could make a deep run, because there's no chance they can play Boston in the first round, is there?
Nope.
So there you go. And Boston's obviously been their kryptonite when it comes to the playoffs, so who knows if they stay hot, and if they're most likely going to make the playoffs, and they go deep. But I mean, I guess I wouldn't mind seeing the Maple Leafs go far. But again, good trade. Teams, obviously, again, the three-team thing was kind of a popular trend this year with people brokering salary, all that jazz. But Dave, the Foligno trade, your thoughts?
It's a good trade for Toronto. They're a hard team to play against now. Literally every line that they have can score and has some physical grit to it. Like, teams aren't going to get a break. And Foligno kind of going home. His dad was a Toronto Maple Leaf. And had the Foligno jump. And it's known for his iconic goal celebration. He scored as a Maple Leaf player. So I think it's good for the Maple Leafs. Also, they now have four former captains in their locker room. And they just brought in the captain of the team who eliminated them from the playoffs last year. So I think it's a good add. You're not getting an elite goal scorer or points getter with Nick Foligno, but he's got those hockey intangibles that you need to win and go far in the playoffs. So it's a good pickup for the Leafs.
Definitely. And then we have another one of those die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain situation here, where Jeff Carter is now a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Obviously, he wasn't a Flyer for some time, but we know
been a decade.
Him. Yeah,
which is crazy to think.
Which is weird, but on Monday before the deadline, Carter was dealt to the Pittsburgh Penguins from the LA Kings. The Kings received a conditional third round pick in next year's 2022 draft, and also a conditional fourth round pick in the 2023 draft. Again, Carter's been in LA for 10 years now, which is crazy. But he played obviously for the Flyers and won the cup with LA in 2012. I almost said 2012, 2012 and 2014. Yep. He's back. Wait, no. So he wasn't. Hextall wasn't GM when Carter was on the team. So, but obviously, Ron Hextall is the GM of the Penguins now, and Carter and Hextall. I feel like the
Hextall was an assistant GM with the Kings when he won cups with Carter.
Gotcha. So obviously, there's that relationship there. Mm-hmm. And fun fact, if you didn't know, the Flyers are playing the Penguins tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, and you could definitely pencil Jeff Carter in for at least 1-1, I'm assuming.
yes.
I tweeted that about Raffle last night in the Caps game, but then I realized that he wasn't playing because he does have a nagging, I think it's a lower body injury. But
yeah, the Flyers said he could play through the Capitals like now we're sitting, yeah.
Yeah, but Carter, a member of the Penguins, I thought I would never see it, but it's just, yeah, that's how it is. Dave, your thoughts?
I mean, Jeff Carter hasn't been a member of the Philadelphia Flyers in over a decade, so I'm over him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't retired by now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he'll go to Pittsburgh. He'll get power play time. He'll be a third line center, third line wing right now.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a chance to succeed. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, and Jeff Carter's a goal scorer. They're streaky. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on a nice little scoring streak here and then it starts against the Flyers.
I was going to say.
So, but I too will pencil him in for at least one goal tomorrow night, because that's just peak Flyer. So
yeah,
it's a nice little pickup for the Penguins. Because remember last year, Matt, we were talking about the Flyers bringing back Jeff Carter, their last year's trade in line. And of course, Carter's stayed put in LA.
Yeah.
And now he's wearing black and gold.
Oh, actually, speaking of black and gold, segue guy, Taylor Hall, perhaps, I guess, the golden boy of the trade deadline. Obviously, everyone was wondering if and when.
Deadline.
Yeah, if where and when he would get traded, and we did get an answer, I think it was late Sunday before Monday, that he did go to the Boston Bruins, and he... Yeah, pretty much a steal here. The Sabres received in exchange for Hall, they received forward Anders Bjork and a second-round pick in the upcoming draft, while the Bruins also got Curtis Lazar. Hall was in the lineup last night when the Bruins played Buffalo. They played Buffalo, which is weird.
Yes.
And the Bruins won in a shootout. Hall did not have any points. I'm looking at the score sheet here, and didn't shoot in the shootout either. But played his first game against his former team. I guess you could also probably call that a bust of a signing as well, him signing that one-year deal. And then I believe he's slated mm-hmm. to be a UFA after this season. So, again, once free agency rolls around, if he's not already signed again by the Bruins, we'll see where he ends up again. But, Hall kind of, I don't know, a little – obviously, being in Buffalo doesn't help him at all. They thought he would play well with Jack Eichel. Eichel, again, it came out earlier today that Eichel is out for the rest of the season with a neck injury. He's out. He missed a lot of time before this.
He's got a herniated disc in his spine. So.
But, again, I guess as bad as the Flyers are, they're not Buffalo, but they're still pretty bad. But, Dave, going back to this trade here, your thoughts on Hall?
I mean, Buffalo just is messing up left and right. They spent $8 million on Taylor Hall that they could have allocated to other resources. But I guess what Kevin Adams' thought process was, I'm going to sign Taylor Hall. He's going to play with Jack Eichel, and they're going to light the world on fire, and we're going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that just didn't happen. Eichel gets hurt early on. Done for the season, and Hall is stuck playing with AHL level players, and just never gets going. And of course, the Buffalo Sabres and Kevin Adams awarded Hall a no movement clause, so you were only trading Taylor Hall for somewhere that he wanted to go.
Yep.
So they kind of shot themselves in the foot. But good for Taylor Hall. I think it'll be good for him to go to a team where he's not to count on to be the guy.
Yeah.
Because thinking drafted first overall by Edmonton, needed to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to New Jersey, needs to be the guy. Goes to Arizona, needs to be the guy. Goes to Buffalo, needs to be the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't really done it. He did it one year in New Jersey, and it was bad ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I think him going to Boston, where he'll be a second line forward, second power play unit guy. Do not be surprised if Taylor Hall pops off.
Oh, yeah.
Because especially in the playoffs, if he's playing with David Krejci, who goes to another level in the postseason,
mm-hmm.
Look out.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, the rich get richer. And this time, replace Tampa with Boston.
God, I hate Boston. But that being said, we move on to the golden ticket of the day. I guess kind of unforeseen here, where it was just the biggest surprise of the day, I'll say. Dave, you mentioned this earlier. Anthony Mantha being traded from the Detroit Red Wings to the Washington Capitals in exchange for two draft picks and forwards Jacob Vrana and Richard Ponick. Detroit received a first-round pick in the 2021 draft and also a second-round pick on top of the two players from the Caps. Mantha was quoted Tuesday saying, "I'm excited. Obviously was a surprise yesterday. I woke up from a pregame nap, and all of a sudden I was traded." That's got to be weird. It's been a busy day yesterday. Traveled down here to D.C. and ready to go today, yesterday, and it's going to be a fun journey. Definitely started out fun because he scored against the Flyers in his first game with the Capitals. And, I mean, again, you knew it was going to happen. Like I said to my friend, I was like – it was funny. My friend that he's a Caps fan, and we were messaging each other. He's like, "I'm really sure about this Mantha trade. Like, what do you think?" And I'm like, "Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if he scored against us tomorrow." And he literally did that. So, but Mantha definitely he's probably happy to get out of Detroit because they're a mess. But Dave, I'll stop talking here. I'm going off the rails a little bit. Your thoughts on the Mantha trade?
It was very surprising in the fact that Mantha was just extended by Detroit earlier this season for 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel bad for his fiance, because apparently they're having a home built in Detroit like on the Detroit suburbs. It's like almost finished, and now they're
cancel the order
off to DC.
Can you return a house?
I do not know. When I start house hunting here shortly, I'll let you know.
Sounds good.
But I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere because of that fact. Like, no one expected Anthony Mantha to be on the move.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good pickup for the Caps, and it's even a better pickup for Detroit. You know, Steve Yzerman realized that, okay, when the Red Wings are ready to be good again, Anthony Mantha probably isn't going to be on the team, so they get rid of him.
Yeah.
And they bring back Ponick, who could play on the team now.
Yep.
And they bring back a guy in Jacob Brana, who could be good when the Red Wings are ready to be good. He is a young player. He was probably the Capitals' next hot product to come out of it. A good check, little feisty sniping forward. He's a good piece to add into the forward depth that Detroit's building up in their rebuild. And of course, you look at all the draft picks Stevie Wise gathered up here for the next 2 years. They're loaded. He just might be the second best GM in the entire league behind Joe Sakic.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. It's the Detroit Colorado connection there. but it was kind of like the whoa deal of the day. And overall, I think it ended a much better trade deadline than I anticipated there being. I was prepared for a day of, oh, well, it's a flat cap and we're not making any trades and womp, womp, womp. Sorry. And no, there was actually good action.
Yep.
Which was nice to see, because the past couple of years of the deadline have been lots of womp womps. So I was personally a fan of how it all went. And we'll see where things go. Hopefully the offseason is just as exciting.
True that.
Even more exciting.
Yeah. Especially for the Flyers' sake. But
yes, please.
Going off of that, we were going to go over a couple more, but I think for time's sake, we'll save them for, again, for people at home listening or wherever you're listening. If you just go to NHL.com, there's a trade tracker, every single deal that went down prior to the trade deadline, at the deadline, all that. You can look there. Again, we just went over tonight what we deemed worthy of being gone over. The more prominent deals, like I said, that went down, but you can go, the full slate of trades is on the website on NHL.com, where we get all our info for the most part, so go check that out. But Dave, that's really all I got for around the league tonight. Obviously, the trade deadline dominated news this past week, so that's all I got for around the league, but take us home.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you for everyone who's going to listen to this and just hear Matt and I kind of unload there at the beginning.
Oh, it got rough.
It's something I feel like we both needed. Hopefully the Flyers get their collective shit together, but my expectations are very, very low.
Yeah.
So I think for the first time ever in 5-minute major radio history, I'm going to not end the podcast with a Let's Go Flyers.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to end the podcast by saying thank you, everyone, for listening and all your continued support. And Comcast, start doing your job, please. Well, guys, we'll see you guys next week.